Everyone, welcome to your podcast. This is episode number 15. Of course, I want to welcome my co-host of your podcast, Mike Dell. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. How is things in your neck of the woods?
It's early, and been pretty excited. We got a big weekend coming up, and with the International Podcast Day and all kinds of stuff. So this is almost feels like a quasi, we're kicking it off, but actually we're going to be following it up, actually. So
yeah, this episode is actually going to be released after the weekend, so.
Yeah. Everyone, welcome to your podcast, and we got some stuff to go through, and hope everyone's doing well with your shows. I know that we're working hard on this one and ours, and actually I'm pretty surprised the show's really taken off, so. We appreciate all of you that are tuning in and following the podcast. But a little bit of news in the scene. Of course, a big one here, Mike, was Vimeo announcing that they've acquired Livestream. So while not directly impactful to podcasters, it for those that do live, it could mean for some changes.
Oh, yeah. That's something else. And, you know, Vimeo is kind of the little brother to YouTube as far as, you know, what they do. So maybe this will position them with a little more firepower.
Yeah, my understanding is their goal and what they wanted was a way to do live, you know, and compete with YouTube Live. So, you know, I'm really kind of torn because Livestream, you know, I pay for a commercial account with Livestream because I stream my personal show. And I think I pay $400, maybe $450 a year. And with that, sure, I get to stream and they keep my media online, but they don't even allow me to have an embed to put on my personal website when I do the live show. So for me, that's always been kind of like this deal killer. If they just allow me to have an embed on the site, I might use them more as a primary, at least live stream.
Right. Doesn't live stream have a lot of hardware as well?
Yeah, they do. They're kind of like the folks over at NewTek with the TriCaster, but they've got their own line of hardware, and actually you can even buy software similar to Wirecast from them. And you know, and basically run it on your own PC. So, yeah, they do. But so it's a very interesting move by Vimeo, and it must have cost, you know, quite be honest with you, they haven't said how much, but Vimeo must have had to reach pretty deep.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article over at TechCrunch, and they don't say anything about money.
Yeah. So. And I'm sure it was, I don't know if it would have been tens of millions it would have been in tens of millions, but maybe hundreds of millions, but who knows? You know, maybe they're both in financial kind of like limbo right now. Maybe
could be just a stock swap, you know.
And maybe this is a strategic joining of the hip. I don't know. But anyway, big deal here. But one thing that, also been announced is that there's another podcast documentary that is now on iTunes. Of course, The Messengers has been released. I think we talked about that in an earlier show. So that's a one done by the team down in Florida. And The Earbuds, the movie, is now available on iTunes. And this is it was the documentary that was done largely by the LA podcasters.
Yeah, so, a lot of comedians and that kind of thing on that one.
So this is another one that's available. So, you know, I think it's $15 or something like that. We should, as a podcast community, these two movies, really, these guys went on the line to try to promote the space. And they're not perfect, either one of them, but it definitely gives us great, you know, it gives the general public some idea about the podcasting space. So I think it's good if podcasters can, you know, go and pick up both those movies. It's, if nothing else, just to financially support them.
Yep. And let's see what. One thing's kind of interesting, and the website that I have here is not working right now. But former Vice President Joe Biden started a podcast. It's supposedly a daily called Biden's Briefing.
Yeah, the story on that is he's going to he's doing it in conjunction with a third party, and he basically picks the news pieces or has help picking the news pieces. I kind of find it hard that he's actually hard to believe he'd be the one actually picking the news pieces, but he introduces the topics, and then there's a team that actually does the briefing. So it's kind of weird. He's kind of
almost a producer.
He's going to be like a network lead where he introduces a story, then hands it off to another team to tell it. So I guess he's going to be a podcaster.
Yeah,
so
he's like the anchor of a newscast, I guess.
Right. So
should be interesting.
But being that, it should. So we'll see what happens with that. But if his site's down already, that kind of makes
it's
you go,
back up.
It's up. Okay. Yeah. Well, being that the podcast award ceremony is already finished and I've got you sworn to secrecy, we can actually congratulate a few people that have actually won. Of course, this is pre-award, so it's kind of weird saying this. But
it happened last Saturday.
Yeah, it was last Saturday. But we want to congratulate Dave Jackson. Can you believe it? He finally won a podcast award.
Yeah, the Susan Lucci of podcast awards has finally won.
Yeah, his acceptance video, because I made all the nominees send in an acceptance video. He's like, if you're watching this, I have finally won. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, Dave's been nominated for lots and lots and lots of awards, and he squeaked by this year. So congratulations to Dave and School of Podcasting. Another one is Ming-Yong Fogarty with Grammar Girl in the education section. She's done a great show for many years. This is not her first.
She's in the Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, so this is not her first walk down the path. As a matter of fact, I don't know if this puts her into once you win five podcast awards, you are you then are basically going to become a legacy show. So I don't know if she's going to make it this time or not. I have to do the math. But STEM Talk is another. This podcast is one that I checked out myself it won in the science and medicine category. I didn't think I would like a show like this, but they do a really good job with the production on this. So, if you're into science or medicine at all, the STEM Talk show is one that you'll definitely want to check out. But it seems to be here that sports is like so hardcore. They have such a huge presence in podcasting. I guess it shouldn't be of any surprise that the People's Choice Award went to the Fantasy Footballers. They also won the sports category. But another great, and a lot of these shows that I had really no exposure to, Mike. And was going through and listening to them, during the whole process. The production on some of these shows are like, whoa.
Yeah, it's heavy
production.
If you think about it, you go to the Podcast Awards website, all year long, and all of the nominees or all the finalists are good podcasts to check out. Just because they didn't win doesn't mean they're not good.
Right. And, in the separation between winning and losing, sometimes was very, very close. So, the difference between the top spot and the bottom spot is, often very close. So yeah, lots of great shows and, 200 podcasts for you to sample over there and definitely check them out at podcastawards.com.
Yes, and the award ceremony happened Saturday during International Podcast Day.
Yep. So I want to share with the audience just a little bit. Last show, we were talking about being ready to be advertiser ready. And I've never had this come up before, but we had a media buyer not decide to have, send them a list. They sent me a list back and said, we don't want these shows, specific shows. They put a line through. And I'm like, my God, I worked hard to match the advertiser with the campaign. And it was a very niche topic. And the list was perfect. I mean, so I went back to him like, listen, there's no replacements for these shows. That's it. And why are you disregarding them? And they said, they're not running an ad on their show. And I'm like, well, this is not all podcasters are running advertising all the time. Well, we wanted to listen to an ad in their podcast. We wanted to hear what it sounded like for them to do a spot. So you'll notice on powerpresspodcast.com that there's a blog post out about this, but we are going to start implementing within our back end of our system the ability for people to submit a demo ad. Now, it's not ready currently, but what we want to do is have podcasters start doing, here's one thing you should think about. And Mike, you don't run advertising a lot, do you? Have you run much advertising in your show?
What I do is I run affiliate advertising. So I do, like, in fact, for the Blueberry affiliate program, I do an ad that I make up, for Blueberry's affiliate, my affiliate code at Blueberry, and that's my right. ad. And, if nothing else, do that.
Right. So we want podcasters to start doing, those that are serious about wanting advertising, that maybe are not running an advertising in their show, to consider doing a demo ad or actually start running some sort of ad in their show, whether that means going over to Commission Junction and signing up and getting an affiliate deal on a product that you love, or becoming a Blueberry affiliate and getting an affiliate code from us to sell podcasting services, whatever you decide to do, or if you just want to promote another show, you probably... It's, and again, I this hasn't come up before, so maybe it's not going to be a long-term issue, but if you're doing an ad in your show, you're going to have this battle rhythm down. You're going to know where you're going to want to place it. You know how you're going to want to lead into it. You're going to understand how you want to come out, because the first time you get an advertising deal, and if you've never done an ad before in your show, it's true. The vendor had a point. In that, does this person know how to do an ad? And we've run into shows before where I've had to kind of school them a little bit because the first ad turned out horrible.
First time you do anything is gonna be a little dicey. So you wanna, you do wanna get some practice in, and what a better way than sign up for the Blueberry affiliate program and do an ad for that if it fits your audience. If it doesn't, as Todd said, get an affiliate program somewhere, even Amazon, Amazon affiliate program's a good thing to get into, and, to be a good, test case for your ad ability, reading ads, getting used to it.
And, and I think the mindset I want you all to go into this project with is I want you to think as you're doing the ad that, yes, I'm getting paid to do this ad. If you, in your mindset, because oftentimes people that are running affiliate stuff kind of come across a little bit flippant. I say flippant, my English is not good this morning, but anyway, not as sincere or not as engaged. So when you're running a demo ad, it's a real ad, for a product or service or something that you basically truly believe that you love, then you might actually do some sales, number one. Number two, you're going to get better at delivering that, expounding and coming up with your own talking points and talking about the company, talking about the product and its use cases and why you like it and what you don't like and all those things go into a good host endorsed ad. So if you're serious about advertising, start doing an ad in your show immediately and run your own ad. See what happens. Who knows? Maybe make a little money on the side on it.
Yeah, and like I said, exactly what you said. It's just, get used to doing it. Even if you're just reading ads into your microphone, not for your podcast, but get used to the idea if you really want to get into advertising. And as Todd said, we will have a demo ad spot there in the Blueberry dashboard at some point in the future.
Yep. So, and you'll be able to upload those segments. And what we're going to ask for is 30 seconds before the ad and 30 seconds after, because it's important. We want to listen to the lead in to how you transition and then how you come out and how you treat the ad as you come out of the show or out of the actual spot.
It reminds me of the old Paul Harvey. Remember him when he was doing his news and he would transition into those ads and it was almost like the ad was another news story. And I mean, the guy was a master at this.
You didn't even know. You're like, whoa, I'm getting sold to, right?
Exactly. And, he was a master at it. And that's the kind of thing that a lot of the host read endorsement ads, that is what we mostly run, are going for.
Yep. So anyway, that's some consideration for you. That's basically our topic of the day. But Mike, I posted an episode and it's not an Apple podcast yet. What did I do wrong?
That question comes up. Oh, I don't know. What do you guess, Todd? 15, 20 times a week?
At least,
in various forms. I mean, you see it on Facebook. You see it on Twitter. You see it on any forum. I get emails directly. I get phone calls. I get, tickets, everything. And, people just somehow don't grok what iTunes really is or what Apple Podcast really is. Of course, they're rebranding, but everybody still says iTunes.
Right.
But basically what it is, it's a directory of podcasts. It's not the place you podcast from. You podcast to it, among other places. So, I always use the phone book analogy. You can't be in the phone book unless you have a phone number. But if you change your phone number, or in the case of a podcast, you upload a new episode, they're not printing a phone book every minute. So you can't, it doesn't happen instantly. You put out your podcast, you make sure it's in your feed, and that's all you can do, because Apple's going to come look at that whenever they see fit to look at it. It's not the other way around. You're not pushing to Apple. They're pulling from you when they get around to it. They've got 400,000-ish podcasts to check on a rotating basis. They may not get to you for 24 hours. But any of your subscribers, and we've talked about this before, but it doesn't matter how many times we talk about it, it still comes up. So, when you see that question on a Facebook forum, please let them know, hey, that's normal. Make sure it's in your feed. But after you do that, and I got some tips, how to make sure everything's cool. But, once it's in the feed and that's the feed that Apple's looking at, then, you're golden. Just give it some time.
Right.
But, what I generally do when I put out an episode, and I'll go through kind of my checklist of how I make sure everything's working. First off, I subscribe to my podcast, in whatever app you use to listen to normal podcasts, your all the rest of your podcasts, subscribe to your own podcast. That's number one way. So when you, put out an episode, you can see how long it takes to get to your phone or to your device or to your computer, however you're listening. And then, of course, make sure on your website that it plays. Make sure it's in your RSS feed. And if you don't know what your RSS feed is, please figure that out. Or, get a hold of me and I'll help you figure out what your RSS feed is. But that's kind of the basics. You got to know that. And I use the Firefox browser. Okay. And if, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't normally use the Firefox browser, that's fine. Download the Firefox browser and use that to check your feed. Because it formats the feed in such a way that it makes it easy to look at. I mean, if you're good at looking at code, XML code, then yeah, you can figure out if the enclosure's in there. But Firefox formats it. So it doesn't hurt anything to have that browser on your computer. So you just load your RSS feed. So, okay, of course, step one, figure out what your RSS feed is. Look at it. Make sure that that episode's in there. Make sure that, you know, what you see for show notes looks the way you want it. It's not going to look perfect because it's, you know, it's RSS. But it'll have, you know, pretty much your blog post content right there, or whatever you've typed into the iTunes summary block if you've enabled that. And just make sure that there's a media file attached to it. If that's all there, and Apple is indeed looking at that feed, then it will get there when it gets there. Usually 24 hours. I mean, what's your experience with that, Todd?
Well, it varies. That's where people get freaked out. You'll sometimes say pick it up at an hour. Sometimes say it takes them 24 hours. You just never know. And, you know, what I do find is if you're releasing your show in and around the same time, within, an hour of when you normally release your show every time. And that's, you know, I normally release my show at about 9:30, 10 o'clock Hawaiian Standard Time, PM. And within about an hour, Apple has picked it up in the directory. Now, I don't check anymore because I'm subscribed to my own show, so I know my listeners are getting it immediately. So that is not an issue. But, sometimes Apple gets behind, and quite frankly, I don't stress it because I'm subscribed to it. I know that Apple's going to catch up on their own, and so are all the other sites. I'm not just worried about Apple. I'm worried about Stitcher and Google Play and all the other places my show is syndicated. So, it's not just one place. But if you're subscribed to the show, I mean, that's just basically the indicator that you're good, that it's out there. And I guess after 1,230 episodes, at least for me, I'm just kind of, I know what to, it's kind of part of my muscle memory. I know to, pick up my phone and load the podcast app, and I have to refresh it because it hasn't automatically looked at it. And sure enough, the new episode's there. So, we've talked about this in the past, but it just continues. And if you're a seasoned or someone that's done a few episodes and you've got this topic down, please help us.
Yeah, because it's not just Blueberry. It's, the whole podcasting space. Anybody that's in this, either in the business or at least, an old hand at it, gets this question from people all the time, and I'm sure it drives everybody nuts. It's great that, they want to know, what's going on, but, please explain it. It's, iTunes is just simply a snapshot of your feed the last time they looked at it. And as Todd said, with consistency, I noticed that, when I actually do have a show that's consistent, and that show gets picked up fairly quickly in the directories. And then not just, like Todd said, just, not just Apple, but, in some of the Google apps, the Android apps that I look at, which I think a lot of them update off of iTunes anyway. But that kind of thing, it's just, if you subscribe to your own show and you get it, 99% of the time you're just fine. So
everyone can hear the absolute frustration in Mike's voice. follow these tips, check your feed whenever you post. I don't even really do that. I just because I know the feed's good.
Sure.
I just load the and make sure if you got a caching software that you've cleared your cache on your website. It's little things like that that are going to, if you remind yourself, you're going to remember that, oh yeah, I need to clear the cache because the cache won't update, or the site won't update, or the feed won't update until I clear the cache. Not all of you run caches on your WordPress sites, but some of you do.
Yep.
If you're a PowerPress Sites user, there's a little button on there to clear the cache as well. Anyway, that's basically it. I think we've killed a dead horse here. But
yeah, well, I told Sean, one of our other support guys, I told Sean, I said, if you take all these iTunes, you know, how come my podcast isn't an iTunes questions? I'll take all the stats questions. So he didn't quite buy that, but oh well,
yeah.
It was worth the try.
So anyway, that wraps up. No other tech support things that popped up at all, or
no, nothing of any great consequence. Things are humming along just fine. Still having a lot of SoundCloud migrations, and that's going well. We've got that down to a science now. So,
it's amazing people are still leaving in mass.
Yeah, well, you get to a point, SoundCloud's probably a great place to start for people, and they get on there, and then they realize, well, okay, it doesn't do this, and doesn't do that, doesn't have my own website in it. Well, hey, let's see what's better out there, and a lot of people end up at Blueberry, so, we've got that down to a science. We can pull that in and have you up and running in an hour. No problems.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for your podcast. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover, you can email us at yourpodcast@blueberry.com, and we'll be happy to cover it in the next show. But I hope everyone had a good International Podcast Day. It was our day to celebrate, and celebrate we did. And, of course, for those of you that are wanting to know about what happens with the Podcast Awards, registration for 2018 will open in January, mid-January, so keep your eyes peeled on that. But other than that, everyone continue to have a great podcast. Mike, thanks for hosting today and for recording and producing the show. We definitely appreciate it. But any final thoughts?
No. If you got any technical questions Blueberry related, of course, you can always get a hold of me, mike@blueberry.com, or better yet, support@blueberry.com. And if it's an iTunes question, Sean will be happy to answer you. Anyway, have a great couple of weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right, everyone. See you later on your podcast.